Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Luke chapter number 15, and a lot of people think all a preacher does is preach three times a week. You're to be standing where I'm standing at right now trying to discern what to do. And it's a very serious place. You don't want to miss the Lord, but I really believe He wants us to go here and give you a couple thoughts. I'll give you several thoughts, but I'm really headed to one thought at the close of the message, but I got to say everything else to get there so you can understand it. And I'm going to give you four or five points, and then I'm going to give you one closing thought. I'll give you my closing argument, amen, and maybe you'll get all the rest of it by it. And when I seen it yesterday studying, I like to have tore my office apart, and I hope that you'll get it the same way that I got it. Luke chapter number 15, thank you to all those that worked with our youth yesterday. Of course, our young kids went to Alpha and Omega, and then the young adults went to Blowing Rock and froze to death. And anyway, they was talking about leggings and said they had to stop and find some leggings, and they looked for a Goodwill. And I said, yeah, go in there and buy some that some dead woman wore, and she didn't even wash them. But anyway, some things is all right at Goodwill and some things is not. Luke 15, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. There's three parables in Luke chapter number 15, and all of them deals with, it deals with a lost sheep, and then a lost silver, and then the lost son. And I want to give you a little thought about the lost son today. The Bible said in verse number 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Bible said in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance and riotous living. Now, I want to just say something right here, and I'll probably say it again before I'm done preaching, but I found this very interesting yesterday, and I've never really noticed this. But I guess I have noticed it. I've just never paid much attention to it. Nowhere do we find right there that the father tries to stop it. Do you note that? Nowhere does the father say, well, wait a minute, you don't need to do that. There come a time in that boy's life where the father had to let go of him. And that boy had to learn some things on his own. Boy, that's easy preaching and hard living, but there comes a time in people's life when you can't stop them from what they're going to do. And the only thing we can do is pray that God will bring them back one day. We do see that happens here. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Now note that. Again, I wish I had 2 hours to preach to you and I might take it, but not everywhere was there a famine just in that land. You see, and I know I'll say this again, the grass always looked greener on the other side. It usually is under the septic tank. Are you with me right there? The grass is always greener over the septic tank. Boy, there comes a day when all of that ceases in the life of an individual, and it does in his life. And when he journeyed, and he went and joined, verse 15, himself as a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he had vain filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Pay attention, this is very important. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, the father interrupts him right here. He's talking to his father. He's telling his father everything he's done wrong. And the father interrupts him, and the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring forth the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be married, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Father, you know the need of the service today. I pray, God, that you'd help us and preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, God, that that is within me this morning, God, that you would help me, God, to relay it, Father, to the people that's sitting here today. God, I pray that if there's any here lost, that they would be saved today. Any here out of your will, oh God, bring them back close to you again today. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to look at the return of this prodigal son for just a little while this morning. When you come to the book of Luke, you'll find that the key theme in studying this book is our Lord's journey as the Son of Man. Our Lord's journey as the Son of Man. If ever a man wrote a book filled with good news for everybody, it was Dr. Luke when he writes to is here at the book of Luke. Matter of fact, chapter 19, verse number 10 says this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. Jesus here is showing that he is interested in saving those who are lost. In this gospel, you meet individuals as well as crowds, women and children as well as men. You'll meet poor people as well as rich people and sinners along with saints. It's a book with a message for everybody, because Luke emphasizes is on the universability of Jesus Christ and his salvation. He said this in chapter 2 verse 10, good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. Jesus is showing us here in the book of Luke that he is interested in everybody. I found this interesting in studying this week. It's significant that Jesus attracted sinners while the Pharisees repelled sinners. Can I just say that again? Somebody give me an amen. Jesus attracted sinners to him while the Pharisees repelled sinners away from them. Lost sinners came to Jesus not because he catered to them or because he compromised his message, but because he cared for them in their time of need. He understood their needs and tried to help them while the Pharisees criticized them and kept them at a distance. Jesus cared for them and loved them and brought them close to him. In our society today, now, you may not agree with me right here, but that's all right. But in our society today, especially in the realm of the fundamental independent Baptist, all we want to do is criticize the world. We want to criticize the sin. We want to talk about that. And hear me well, I'm against every bit of it. If you don't want to know what I'm against, then don't ask me. Matter of fact, you think about it, and I'm probably against it. However, we must still care for the sinner. We must still love them. We must still reach out to them. We must let them know there is a God that really does love them, and a God that cares for them, and a God that will ultimately change their life, change their direction, change everything about them. There is a God that'll take them out of the hell holes of this world and out of the pigsties of this world, and will place them in the house of God with the people of God, in the presence of God, enjoying the power of God. There is a God that loves them, and we must relay that to them. Now, I began to think about chapter 15, and chapter 15 is very interesting. Matter of fact, you could sum up chapter 15 in three words. Here it is: lost, found, rejoicing. Can I say that again? Lost, found, and rejoicing. The sheep was lost, but they was rejoicing among the angels when it was brought back. The silver was lost, but there was rejoicing when it was brought back. The son was lost, but oh boy, what a rejoicing they had when they was brought back. I want to look at this tonight or this morning and preach to you about the return of this son. I find it very interesting. I've already said this, but I find it very interesting that nowhere the father tries to stop this son from doing what he did. Evidently, this son was of age, and he goes to his father, and he says, I want everything that is mine. And, of course, the custom of that day and the law of that day was completely different than our day, and the father gives it to him. Now, I want to say something to you. He didn't just wake up one morning and walk in there and say that to him. Something had begun turning in his mind. He had begun looking in a different direction. A man just don't wake up one morning. Now let me preach a little while and I'll get to where I'm going. But a man just doesn't wake up one morning and go, you know what, I think today will be the day that I'm going to go out and I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to shoot up on dope and I'm going to wreck my family and never go back to them and be homeless and lose everything that I've got. Man wakes up one day and begins to look in a different direction. Man just don't wake up one day and go, you know what? I'm going to cheat on my wife today. Are you hearing the preacher this morning? But he begins to look in a different direction. Lady, just don't wake up one morning and go, you know what? Today's going to be the day that I leave my family, I leave my children, I abandon them, and I absolutely destroy my life on the things of this world. No, but at some point in her life, she begins to look in a different direction. You see, this young man at some point in his life had begun to look in a different direction. Something caught his attention. Some kind of attraction caught him. He began to look that way. And I'm going to tell you something. It's very important what we're looking at. Somebody say amen. It's very important what we're listening to. It's very important the counsel that we're listening to. I just don't listen to recommendations by very many people. People may try to give them, but it goes in one ear and out the other. I'm telling you, there's not but a handful of preachers that I ask recommendations from. And matter of fact, I can probably bring that on down to about two or three. Let me tell you the reason why. If you're not careful, you'll begin to look a different way. And this boy began to look a different way, and before long, he found himself living in a lifestyle that he never dreamed that he would be in. Have you ever thought about this? Evidently, his father was very well-to-do. His father evidently had a great farm. He had many hired servants. How many hired servants? He don't even put a number there. They probably didn't even know the son didn't know so many of them. He just didn't wake up one day and go, every need that I've got is met. Everything that I want is here. I think I'll just walk away from it all, waste it all, and be homeless. No, at some point in his life, he began to look. Thought, boy, it sure looks better over there. I said this a while ago, the grass does always look greener on the other side, but it's usually over the septic tank. It's usually over the septic tank. Amen. I thought about them old goats down there in the lot. You know, and I was looking yesterday, Lloyd, down the side of the backside of their fence. And about that far out, it's eat just down to nothing. Brother Will, you can go around that cow pasture and you can look. And about the cow's got a tongue about that long. Are you with me? About that far out, it'll be eat out. But if you look inside that fence, there's water, there's sweet feed, there's hay, there's a salt lick. Everything that they need is right there in front of them. But you know what? It looks like things are just a little bit better on the other side of the fence. You know what happens so many times in our life? Hear me this morning. We begin to look on the other side of the fence and we think, you know what? I bet the grass is a little bit greener over there. I bet life's a little bit better over there. That choice was not something that just snapped in his mind. He started looking in that direction. But can I give you a flip side to that? Daniel stood one day before the king and said, I'll not bow to your gods. I'm not going to do it. That was not a choice that Daniel made that morning. That was a choice that Daniel made before he ever got to Babylon. Daniel, at some point in his life, had decided, you know what? I'm going with God. I'm going with God's people. Let come what may, I'm staying with God. He made a choice before he ever got there to stand for what's right. Well, this boy loses it all. I just read it to you. It's real simple. He finds himself from living in a mansion to living in a hog pen and eating the slop of the hogs. I thought about that. I guess it was Friday night. Victoria wanted to watch a movie. It's sad, the things that's on TV today, it's supposed to be for kids. I mean, it's just pathetic. So you know what? We watched the original Charlotte's Web. Anybody ever watch Charlotte's Web? The original one, the cartoon one. I mean, he was humble. He was radiant. Y'all know. Man, if you've never watched it, go home and watch it. But y'all remember Templeton on that. And Wilbur told Templeton, if you'll do this, I'll let you eat before I eat. Boy, Templeton, Brother Brian, he goes over there after they slop that hog. He jumps in that, and it's green. He gets up on that corn cob. He's floating in that slop on that corn cob. I began to think about the prodigal son. He was just like Templeton. He walked over there and was eating the slop. It was thrown out for the hogs. Once he had everything. Once he had it all. Once he sat at his father's table. Once he eat with the father, once he, hey look, he probably even had his own servant. Now here he is, what happened? Well, it's real simple. He got his eyes off what really mattered. You know what, before we sit back and we criticize him or we criticize anybody else, we better remember that we're one choice away from being in the same place. But I want to look at his return this morning. And I'm going to give you two or three things, and I'm going to give you the last point, and that's where I want to preach at. Number one, I want you to see this about the prodigal's return. Number one, in verse number 17, there was a divine awakening. There was a divine awakening. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this, and when he came to himself. When he came to himself. I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. You can talk to somebody until you're blue in the face. You can preach your gallbladder out, your kidney out, and your vocal cords be laying on the ground. Are you hearing me? You can give them all the money you want to give them. You can put them up anywhere you want to put them up. But until they come to their self, they're going to go right back to the hog pen. A divine awakening. You know something that's really interesting? The father didn't stop him, but the father never went after him. Nowhere do you see that the father goes to a far country looking for this boy. Nowhere do you see anywhere down there at the hog pen is he pushing people out of the way. Hey, have y'all seen my boy? He's about this tall. Good-looking young man. Had a suit and tie on when he left the house and a lot of money. Somebody said he's down here feeding hogs for some reason. Zeb, nowhere do you find that the father goes looking for this boy. Let me tell you the reason why. It wasn't going to do the father one bit of good to go looking for this boy until this boy came to himself. And we can preach to you. We can teach to you. We can give you a Bible. We can teach you Bible verses. We can take you all over the country to meetings. We can pray for you day in and day out. But until you realize yourself that you need help, you'll never get help. Until you realize yourself
Can I ask you a question this morning? Was there ever a time in your life that you was closer to God than you are right now? Then guess what? You're a prodigal. Don't sit here this morning and think, well, you know what? Man, I'm okay. I'm sitting in church. Hey, was there ever a week that you read your Bible more than you did this past week? Was there ever a week that you prayed more than you did this past week? Hey, look up in here. Let's don't jeopardize, or not jeopardize, but categorize. Well, I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not. What are you doing? Let's not talk about what you're not doing. Let's talk about what you are doing. How much Bible did you read this week? How many hours did you pray this week? You know what? There's nothing wrong with the things of this world. There's nothing wrong with enjoying things of this world. There's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself and going to the gym. And you know that I believe in every bit of that. But hear me and hear me well. If there is a day that goes by that I exercise more, that I run more, I ride a bike more, or I go to a gym long, that I spend in the Word of God and on my knees praying, that I'm a prodigal. Now, I just preached to myself, so y'all can say amen now. I'm a prodigal. And he had to come to a place in his life where he realized, I am wrong. Boy, that's hard to say. Somebody say amen. He had to come to a place. He came to himself. You know what David said in 2 Samuel 12, verse number 13? I have sinned. There's, number one, a divine awakening. Number two, there's a detection of his need. Look what he said. The latter portion of verse 17, I perish with hunger. He realizes that he needs something. I perish with hunger. He realizes that he needs something. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you're not where you need to be with God, you need something. You know what it is? You need His breath again. You need His touch again. You know what we were singing a while ago? And if you didn't feel that little breeze that came through, it wasn't because we were singing. It's because who we were singing about. Amen. That little breeze that came through. I need that every day in my life. There was a divine awakening. There was detection of his need, but there was a discernment of good. Look what he says in verse 17 again, in the middle portion of it. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? He realized that at the father's house is where the goods was at. Can I say that again? That at the father's house is where the goods was at. Let me tell you where the goods is at. At the father's house. At the father's house. What you're searching for, what you're looking for in this world, will never be found. You'll never find it in riches. There's nothing wrong with money. I'm not against money. But you'll never find it in riches. You can buy all the new vehicles you want. You can buy all the new houses you want. You can buy all the new clothes that you want. You can buy all of this and all of that and all of this and all of that that you want. But you're never going to find what you'll find at the Father's house. You'll not find it today. You'll not find it in alcohol. You'll not find it in drugs. You'll not find it. But thank God there is a place. There was a discernment of good. He looked around at the mess that he was sitting in. He looked around at the slop of the hogs. He looked around at the famine that was in the land that he was in. And he said, you know what? Over there at my father's house, there's some good over there. There's some good over there. There was a discernment of good. But then watch this. There was a dedication to return. I'm about to where I want to preach at this morning. There was a dedication to return. Look in verse number 20. The Bible said, and he arose and came to his father. He arose and came to his father. Many say this right here. I'm going to turn over a new leaf tomorrow. But tomorrow comes, and the leaf is still in the same place. Many says, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and How many, maybe even in this room, has said this at some point in your life? I'm going to go to church, but at first, I got to get some things straightened up. The problem is this, you're not going to get them straightened up. You got problems that you can't fix on your own. Well, you don't know how strong of a person I am. I really don't care how strong of a person you are. I'm telling you, there's some things you ain't going to fix on your own. Just to put it like we'd said in deep low gap, you ain't going to do it. Get deep enough, you ain't going to do it. Are you with me this morning? There's problems in our life that we can't fix on our own. And saying, I'm going to fix this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, is one thing. He said, I'm going to go back to my Father's house in verse 18. But in verse number 20, there was a dedication to return. He went back to the Father's house. I wonder how many sitting here this morning and in your mind you're going, you know what? I'm going to go back to the Father's house. I'm going to get my heart truly right with God. And hear me, we are so bad. We are so judgmental. We think because we're in church on Sunday morning, we're okay. No. That's works, man. We're not okay just because we're sitting here. And how's our relationship with God? I mean, if the only time you picked your Bible up was to walk into church this morning from this past Sunday, something's wrong. Something's wrong. We've got to realize that we need Him. Let me tell you the reason I think the rich man in Luke 16 never got saved. Because he didn't need Him. And we in our society today are so blessed, we don't need Him. I guarantee you there's not a person sitting in here that don't have beans in the cupboard this morning. For you city people that don't understand what that means, there's beans in the cabinet this morning. Okay? Every one of us, if you ain't got none, stop at the house. And I know that's a double negative, but if you ain't got none, stop at the house and I'll give you a can. We don't need much today. We got a bunch of wants. We got a bunch of wants. I'm talking about needs. And I'm going to tell you something that I do need. If I've ever realized it in my life, I need Him this morning. And without Him, I can't do anything. Without Him, I don't even want to breathe. I don't want to walk. I don't want to talk. I need Him. And there must be a dedication in our life daily to depend upon Him. There was the dedication to return. He went. Then here's where I want to preach at this morning. Y'all ready? There was a delightful reception. I thought about this in verse 20 through 24. We see this. I thought about this and boy, I've thought about this young man. I thought about where he was at. I thought even... And I'm not going to go into it, but I thought even about a two-year span in my life. Thank God for the night, on a Wednesday night during youth camp. That's the reason youth camp means so much to me. I got saved in youth camp. I got right with God in youth camp. I surrendered to preaching in youth camp. But I remember that night when I came home, the delightful reception that was there. Nobody pointed their finger, but there was a loving... Why? Because a prodigal had come home. A delightful reception. As this young man headed home, he didn't know what he might find there. What he found was incredible, though. He found a father who had been longing, looking, and living for his son's return. He found a father filled with love, compassion, and grace who received him and loved him back into fellowship. The father wouldn't even allow the son to finish his speech, but he interrupts him and welcomes him back in to the family. I thought about the robe. It represented his purity. I thought about the ring. It represented his privileges. And I thought about the shoes that represented his position. I'll say a little bit more about that in just a second. But I thought about the Father kissing him. The verb kissed is in the present tense here. Not just one kiss, but continually kissing. In spite of the smell, in spite of the filth, in spite of the hurt, the pain and the loss, the Father still continually kissed the Son. This was an ultimate sign of acceptance by the Father. But the Father also, according to the Bible, ran to his Son and embraced his Son. I began studying that this week. As I began studying that, here's what I found out that helped me so much. When you study the law, and again, you got to understand the dispensation and all that of the Scriptures right here. They're still under law. When you study the law, according to Deuteronomy chapter number 21, listen to this, according to Deuteronomy chapter number 21, "But Jim, if a son left the house and returned, when he returned, the neighbors could stone him because of his rebellion to his father." Are you hearing me this morning? In other words, the law said, kill him for his rebellion. And here's what I got to thinking about. Well, you start playing softly. I'm about done, I think. Here's what I got to thinking about. Here's a boy that's walked off, that's had everything that could ever be imagined handed to him. He's got it all right in front of him, and he chooses to leave it. He chooses to disgrace his father, to disgrace his father's name, to disgrace his heritage. He chooses to waste away everything his father had given him. But he comes to himself and decides to come back, not knowing what his father would do, nor the neighbors would do. Because according to Deuteronomy, they could stone him. But he decides he's going to go home. He's filthy. He's nasty. He's been in the hell holes of the world. Probably smells like puke. Just think about it. I guarantee if you go eat a bunch of slop, you're probably going to regurgitate, okay? Probably smells like puke. I don't know that he smelled like Bud Dumber, because he probably didn't have that then, but he probably smelled like corn liquor. The wine of the world. His clothes is filthy, torn all to pieces. And here he comes down the road. And his father sees him a great ways off and runs to him. I thought about this. Why did the father run to him? He's coming towards the father. Did the father think, well, if I run towards him, then he'll see that I'm welcoming him home? I don't know. Was the father just excited? There's my boy. Even though he was probably just about unrecognizable because of the condition he was in, the father still knew who he was. The father still recognized him. Are you with me? The father still knew who he was. Did he run to him just because he was overjoyed? No. That's not the reason he ran to him. Let me tell you the reason that I think he ran to him. You know, some Barkerology this morning in closing. Here's the reason he ran to him. Because he knew if the neighbors saw him, they could stone him. And the father, come here, Brother Josh, and help me preach just a minute. No, wait a minute. Come here, SJ, and help me preach just a minute. And the father knew, don't ask him what that stands for. the father knew that was his boy. No matter where he had been, see, some people preach this prodigal son, and it's a parable, and I'm not going to argue either way, but they preach him lost. I don't think he was lost. I think he's saved because he had lived in the father's house and went out from the father's house. He was the father's son at the beginning of it. Are you with me? This is his boy. I don't have no boys. I got three girls. But let's just pretend that this is my boy. I claim him. You got a girlfriend. You want me to point you a couple out? You don't want no boyfriend, do you? Okay. Make sure right there real quick. When we get there, we're going to have to set you back down and get somebody else to come be my son. But watch this. That's his son. He watched his wife walk through the jaws of death to birth his son. That's his boy. Brother Will, it don't matter what your boys ever do, they'll still be your boys. And it don't matter what my three girls do. They may walk away from everything I've ever trained. They'll still be my youngins and keep your mouth shut about them. If you don't feel that way about yours, then something's wrong, okay? That's his boy. And he sees him coming. He knows the mess that he's been in. He knows the life that he's lived. Somebody has probably came back and said, "Hey, I saw your boy down there in the hog pen. Boy, he's really holding the family name up good." The daddy probably said, "Well, you just help me pray for him. You just help me pray for him." His boy's coming. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? His boy's coming home. Why did he run and embrace his son? I'm not going to kiss you, okay? Why did he do that? He was putting himself in between judgment and his son. You see, if they started throwing rocks, he had his boy. And he could take... Y'all better be glad he's holding me, or I'd shout right now. He could take the judgment that his son was actually worthy of receiving. He was worthy of that. They could have done that to him and been justified, but he covered his son up. Why? Because it was his boy, and he didn't want nothing to happen. It didn't matter what they throwed. They was going to hit the father before they got to the son. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying this morning?" You can sit down, son. Here's what I'm saying. There was a day. That you and I was worthy of judgment. And that we had failed God so many times. And that we had walked away from everything God had ever given us. But thank God on Calvary, he that knew no sin placed himself, oh yes, placed himself in between judgment and us. Amen. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Watch this. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Oh, but let's go to Calvary. Let's look at a man hanging on a cross named Jesus. And let's listen to three words that he said in amongst the seven sayings. And here's what three of them was. It is finished. You see, he was saying the penalty of death. Your judgment. You dying and going to hell. He was saying, it is finished. He never said, I am finished, because he was just getting started. But he was saying the penalty. What was he doing that day? He was looking through the scope of time and realizing the condition that you would be in and that I would be in over and over and over again. And yet he throwed himself in between judgment and us. And our judgment was placed upon him. And now because of that, he puts a robe on him. It represents purity. Here stands the son in the rags of his sin. He doesn't look like a child of his father, but the father orders the best of his robes to be brought and to be put on the son. This robe would cover all the stains and the dirt of the pig pen. This robe would make him look like the father. As a matter of fact, if anybody else saw the boy dressed in his father's robe, they would probably even think that he was the father himself. When a sinner comes home, they receive a robe from the heavenly father. He said in Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of his salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. The ring represents his privileges. I thought about this. The ring was a symbol of sonship and authority. The one with the ring could speak for the father. The one with the ring had access to all the belongings of the father. The one with the father's ring was in a position of great privilege. The shoes represented his position. You see, only the slaves in the father's house went barefooted. The father calls for shoes to be brought and to put on the feet of his son. Only slaves went barefooted. Sons wore shoes. The boy returned home desiring to be a mere servant. But the father is determined to recognize his position as the son. In the boy's eyes, he didn't deserve anything from the father. But the father looked at him and said, this is my son. 1 John 3:1 and 2 says, behold, what manner of love the father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, here's what we say so many times. I'm nothing but an old sinner saved by grace. I understand what we say, and I'm guilty of saying it too. That's what we say. So many times we magnify the sin of our past. Boy, God brought me out of this, and God brought me out of that. Thank God, God brought us out of it. But time out just a minute. I just read a verse right there that don't say nothing about me being an old sinner. Here's what it says. I'm a son of God. Let me tell you what I am today. Yeah, I used to be a sinner. And I still miss the mark every day of my life, but he's faithful and just to forgive me. I used to live a different lifestyle. I used to do this and I used to do that. But I'm going to tell you what happened. July the 20th, 1994, all of that became past tense, and I become the child of God today. I am somebody standing here today. I'm somebody headed somewhere. I'm a child of the King. There's a man loved me enough. He was willing to give his life and to leave the portals of glory and to save me and to reconcile me back to him and to forgive me when I miss the mark. I am somebody today. I'm a child of God today. So we don't have to walk around with our heads down talking about a sin of the past. That old boy walked around with the father's robe and the father's ring and the father's shoes because he was the father's son. And that's what we are today. That's what we are today. Father,